Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 21st day of May, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's program is herding cats. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Our website is www.PastorDan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces.
Exciting.
So, hold on a second here. So, on that website, PastorDan.net, we want to draw your attention to the Contact Us page. If you don't have my personal contact information, you can reach me there. The home page has information as far as how to help out financially if you feel led to do so. And of course, there's other pages there with interesting information as far as reading material and other things such as that. Excuse me for just one second. I know what I forgot to do. There we go. I forgot to start the Q&A session. Okay. You know, I know you're probably tired of hearing some of my quotes, favorite quotes, but I want them to be like burned into everybody's memory because I believe that's where we're at. And of course, one of my favorites is Richard Buckminster Fuller. You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Now, why is that important? Because that's pretty much the focus of everybody today, trying to fight the thousands of tentacles of the tree of evil, instead of just chopping at the root. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. In other words, just like in that movie Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. If you build the new model based on the laws of our Father in Heaven, if you repent and come back to Him, and build this model based on His expectations for mankind, that's the better model. If we build it, they will come. People will abandon Babylon. And I know a lot of people say, well, Dan, why do you say that? Because they're brain dead. They don't get it. They're zombies, blah, 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 blah. Well, a lot of people do get it. The biggest problem they have is that they don't see anybody doing anything constructive. They don't see an alternative to Babylon. And if they don't see an alternative to Babylon, then where do they run to? This is why the scripture makes it very clear. He said, raise a standard in that day for my people. What is a standard? A standard is a banner or a flag, such as on the battlefield. Why do the men fight so hard? Because they believe in why they are there. They believe in the commanders that they're following, and they believe in the cause. The banners express who they are and why they're there. Okay? So that's ingrained in our psyche. So the banner the Father wants us to raise at this point in time is much like what Richard Buckminster Fuller is saying, show my people a better way. Raise a standard. Show them that there is a way out. We have not been doing that. We've been fighting with each other. That's why I entitled today, Herding Cats. Now, that's kind of a colloquialism, and it's somewhat humorous. But if you think of the reality of it, if you had area of ground and there were 20 or 25 cats in it, and somebody said, your job today is to herd those cats, you'll be there for the next 10 years and you're not going to get those cats together. They're going to scatter all over the place. And that's what it's like trying to organize our race, our people, the Israelites of today. It's like herding cats. They're going in every direction imaginable. So what is the thing that can bring the cats together? Raising Yahweh's standard. We have to come back together under our Father in heaven, our Creator, our Lord, our King, our Judge, our Lawgiver. We have been led astray to think that man and man-made government is the ultimate authority on earth. That is a lie. And we've been trained since children to believe this lie. That's what the public school system is all about. Now, isn't it odd that in the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, free public education is one of the 10 planks? Now, ask yourself, why would my ancestors establish a public school system and make it mandatory when that's part of the communist agenda? Who was asleep at the wheel when that brilliant decision was made? And by the way, another plank of this communist manifesto is a heavy progressive income tax. Wow, really, Dan? Yeah, look it up. So two of the major planks out of only 10 has been in force throughout the 1900s into the 21st century, and nobody is raising hell about it. Parents still feel that it's their duty to send their kids off to public school. That's the greatest harm you could possibly do. Supporting a government that has imposed a heavy progressive income tax, you believe it's your duty because of the brainwashing. Really? Sending money to my enemies is a good thing. And yes, your government has become your enemy because it has been completely subjugated to the communist Jew. And yet you still support it. By the droves, I see zombies marching off to get on school buses every day. What is wrong with our people? Either they're completely ignorant, or they know that it's wrong, but they don't have any balls to fight the system. They're cowards. Now, willful ignorance, according to Joe Cortina, who wrote the book John 8:44, Exposing the Sons of Satan, who was a special forces commander, and we interviewed John several times. According to him, willful ignorance is a capital crime. In other words, if you are willfully ignorant, you deserve to be executed. Now, that's pretty harsh. But you got to remember, John Cortina, being in the special forces, having exposed the Jews for who they are and taken the heat for doing that, he doesn't have time for tomfoolery. He cuts to the chase, so to speak. So in his opinion, and in a large number of people that I've been speaking with lately, willful ignorance is an abomination. Absolute abomination. And so is cowardice, by the way. And the scripture says so. In the list of those who will not see the kingdom of our Father, cowards are in that list. The white race is full of ignorant cowards today. Full of it. But you know what else it's full of? Backbiters. gossipers, egomaniacs. And the scripture is very clear that those things are not to be of our people either. Remember the seven things that Yahweh hates. One of them is anyone who causes discord amongst the brethren. Why would that be? Why, out of seven things that our Heavenly Father absolutely detests, why would one of them be somebody causing discord amongst the brethren? Because when the enemy separates us, that is divide and conquer. You are aiding and abetting our enemies in conquering our people. Most of our people don't think of it that way. It's sad. They think, I'm not quite sure what they think. As they divide the camp over trivial matters, by the way. Oh, Dan, it's not trivial because, you know, the Sabbath is Saturday, or the Sabbath is Sunday, or the Sabbath is the seventh day of the month. Okay, but you, as Christ said to many of his disciples of the day, you guys read the word, you get this dogma planted in your heads, and you forget the basis of the law, which he said was what? Oh, love one another, even as I have loved you. Oh, okay, but we want to focus on what day the Sabbath is. We want to focus on whether or not you can have more than one wife. We want to focus on whether you can get circumcised or not. Sorry about that. Okay, so we want to focus on those things. Let me just send a quick little response here. So again, we forget and overlook the basis of what we were being taught by Messiah himself and his disciples, and we focus on what we want to focus on because it soothes our egos. It soothes our desire to be right, our desire to have one up on our brothers and sisters, desires our need for attention, our need to be validated, so to speak. Another old adage that I like to talk about is when government fears people, we have liberty. Now think about this, just one short little sentence, and it says a hell of a lot. When the government, or man-made government, we should say, fears the people, we have liberty. And that's exactly how it was set up here in the United States. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. We've had tyranny most of my adult life. In fact, I would say probably all my life here in the United States. It just was not as evident in the 1950s and 1960s, but it sure is hell evident now. The people fear the government because the government has become tyrannical. The government is now your enemy, literally your enemies. They are opening the borders, okay? If your government cannot defend the borders, you don't have a government. You don't have a government of, for, and by the people, no longer. In fact, the people who claim to be public servants have committed treason against you. You just haven't woke up to it yet. You literally have traitors running the show, and yet there's still people who think it's our job to obey, quote, the law that these same traitors have created. The people setting you up for failure. The people setting you up to be taken over by the Zionist communists. And yet, brain-dead white people still think that you have to obey them. Well, Dan, they might take my house and my job. They might take my car. They might take my bank account. You know, I've got stock. I got a 401k plan, Dan. How can I stand up against these communists when I got so many things to watch out for? I hear that all the time. I got a question for you. How many of those things that you think are so important do you think the communists are going to let you keep? When the communists take over, do you think you're going to still have that job? Do you think they're going to let you keep those fictitious digits in your 401k and your stock plans? It's all digital, you know. One press of a key on a computer and it goes to zero. And yet you are willing to sell your soul, sell your family for magical digits controlled by your communist Jews, and you're still following them. You still believe it's your duty to obey the law, pay my taxes, let them steal my children from me, let them dictate what happens in the public school system. Communism on top of communism on top of communism, which is, by the way, not only just a Bolshevik ideology being forced on you, it is also sexual perversion. Let's see, wait a minute. Sexual perversion, where have I read about it? Oh, that's right. It's in the Bible. Sexual immorality, which is what perversions are, is another category of people that are not going to see the kingdom. I just wonder, why is it the cats, white people, that we're trying to herd, why is it white people can't get these simple concepts? Maybe better yet is, maybe they do get the concepts, but they don't have the courage. Why is it we don't have the courage? Why don't we have the courage? Jeremiah 4, verse 22, for my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are foolish children, and they have no understanding. They are skillful in doing evil, but they do not know how to do good. Well, Dan, I know how to do good. I give $20 a month to the local church, and I go down and give 5 cans of beans to the local food club that puts up food for these poor, poor, poor minorities that live in my neighborhood. So I do good. Hector, let me tell you something, buddy. You don't do good at all. Aiding and abetting your enemies is foolish, stupid, and cowardly. Standing against those who mean to do harm to your family and to you is where courage comes from. Wisdom. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light for darkness? Now, again, this is a letter to the Corinthians of that day, but the principle applies today. And though I don't particularly care for Paul's writings too much, mostly because they are misinterpreted, a lot of them do make a lot of sense. And in this case, this particular one does. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Our people acquiesce to the unbelievers all the time. In fact, I was ashamed that family members actually went to a gay marriage, a woman marrying a woman, simply to maintain their relationship with this couple that were the parents of the one woman, because they had been, quote, friends. And yet, churchgoers, these are churchgoers, actually officers in a major church. And yet Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What does yoked mean? People say, well, you don't marry them. No, no, no. You don't even befriend them. Well, Dan, if I befriend them, maybe I have a chance to tell them they're wrong. And wait a minute. Where's the commandment that I'm supposed to yoke myself to them with the hope that somehow my righteousness will rub off on them? It says right here, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness? Okay, no, wait a minute. What's righteousness? That's true faith, real faith, okay? Just like there's two words for history. There's history, his story, and then there's historicity. Oh, wait a minute. Is that a real word, Dan? Yes, believe it or not, it's in your dictionary. Historicity. Oh, but nobody uses it. Yeah, that's right, because you know what it means? Verifiable, actual, true, history, true facts. Because most of the stuff you're getting is his story, his being the Antichrist, the Jews amongst you. You get his story, not historicity. But you're not wise enough to know there's a difference, are you? What partnership has true faith in Yahweh above with lawlessness? Well, I obey the law. I go 55 mile an hour down the road, Dan. I follow the laws every time. I pay my taxes. I pay my property tax. I pay the school tax. I get a license every 5 years. I get my car registered every year. That's not the law it's talking about. The only law that matters in Scripture is God's law. Do you think our Father above, sitting on that throne, looking at this creation down here, gives a damn about what a bunch of people in Washington or the state capitol write down on pieces of paper? Do you actually believe that he cares about that? That this scripture, right out of your Bibles, people, is talking about obeying that nonsense that those miscreants put out? Or do you think he cares about obeying his law? Better figure it out. You better figure it out fast. Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Now remember, in Scripture, light and darkness are symbolic. Light means truth, knowledge, wisdom, prudence. Darkness represents ignorance, vanity, narcissism. And what is the world guided by today? Light or darkness? Take a look around the world today, especially at the man-made government, quote, leaders that you have, or the leaders of industry, the leaders of the corporate world, the leaders even in the mainstream churches. What are they? They are darkness, ignorance, apathy, acquiescence to the wicked, serving the Antichrist. And you wonder why the world looks like it does. Gee, Dan, I never figured that out. Well, you better figure it out, because the clock is ticking. The sand is almost out of the hourglass, people. His day of retribution is at hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. And though a man might prevail against one man who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. What is he telling us here? Means if a guy comes across another guy and wishes to do harm to him, he might prevail. He might. Depends on the strength of the other guy. But if there are two, almost 100% of the time, they will prevail. And then it says a threefold fold cord is not quickly broken. Meaning, you ever look at rope, such as down at the docks, the heavy rope that holds the boats to the docks and things like that? You ever look at it? It's multiple cords woven together. A rope of many cords is a very strong rope. A singular cord could be easily broken, but not when there's multiple cords. What are we, his people, supposed to take from that? We are to stay wrapped together like that rope. Each of us is a cord within that rope. And when we come together of one accord, says so in Scripture, when we come together in one accord, we are invincible. Meaning we cannot be defeated. So how does the enemy use that against us? So see, the enemy knows this stuff too. Let's see, if they're very strong together, I can sow discord amongst them, and they will fight each other. And as long as they're fighting each other, arguing with each other, debating with each other, sticking knives in each other's backs, I've got them. Because they stand alone. Easy targets for me. And so the Antichrist wins. The wicked win. The perverts win. Because our people are hell-bent on spending their energy and time in figuring out ways to stay separate. I don't want to be wrapped in the same rope with that guy over there because I don't like his haircut. I don't like the clothes he wears. He reads the wrong version of Scripture. He doesn't believe in a Saturday Sabbath. In the meantime, the enemy is cutting us down, destroying our nation, destroying our institution, destroying our world, poisoning us, and getting ready to lower the boom of total 100% communism on our heads. And yet we still sit around figuring out how to stay separate and to bash each other over the head and put knives in each other's backs. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Love, meaning brotherly love, is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Whew. Boy, have I run into some people that violate this one day and night. And yet they call themselves brothers and sisters. They call themselves believers in Yahweh. Yeah, I'm not talking about the zombies. I'm talking about people who claim to be our brethren. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Oh, my God, if people would only just believe this one verse. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And again, not talking eros love, meaning erotic love, romantic love. We're talking brotherly love, agape love. We have come so far off the tracks. It sometimes makes me wonder, are we able to come back and get on the tracks again? Okay. Oh, by the way, a lot of people are writing they're having trouble hearing. The internet lately I've noticed, like for instance, when I log in on the internet, I'll get booted off. It just drops off often, and then I have to log back in. Same thing is happening with Free Conference Call. You log in and you're there, but you don't hear anything because it didn't go through properly. So you have to log out and log back in, and a lot of times that'll fix it. It's just a glitch, okay? Are there evil people doing it intentionally? Well, it could be. But I've been working on computers from their inception as a technician, and computers do wacky things once in a while, sometimes all on their own. Because you got to remember, everything that's happening on that computer is run by a thing called program, a master program. And today, these things are huge. Back in the day, some of them were fairly short. But today, these programs that run what you're watching on your screens, they are gigantic. In fact, it's almost amazing that they run. There's so many different little subroutines and programs and steps that it goes through to even just generate something on your screen. It's amazing that they don't make more mistakes, to be honest. That's a lot of computations going on to be as flawless as they are. Colossians 3, verses 18 and 19, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting in Yahweh. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. See, we can't even get that one right. You see, the Jews came in decades ago and started this whole feminist thing, supposedly because women were oppressed. Really? And they set them free. So now they're free to be alcoholics, hooked on cigarettes, cigars, drugs, booze, sex, porn, worship money, material, just like some men were. So now the ladies are free to do that. Isn't that wonderful? Instead of being at home raising the next generation so that they're properly raised, instead of by the school system and the corrupt church, yeah, moms are busy being secretaries and mechanics and technicians and vice presidents and CEOs. Much more important for you ladies to do that, right? Yeah, that's right. You got to be independent. And like some young people have told me, well, I got to have a career, Dan, because I can't trust that man will be with my whole life. And if he leaves me, I got to be able to make money. Well, maybe if you submitted to your husbands, you wouldn't have to worry about him leaving. Or maybe, now this is a real novel thought, maybe if you were more selective on who you picked as a husband, you might not have so much trouble. Instead of listening to the Jew propaganda that your emotions should pick it, or your warm and fuzzy feelings of horniness. Oh, he's handsome and he's driving a Corvette, so I think he'll make a good husband. Really? Odds are, no, he won't. That's why in the old days, you know, the old days when the old timers ran things, you know, those fogies that we always make fun of. Yeah, they had a thing called courting. You didn't just pick somebody out at a nightclub one night and sleep with them and end up being married to them. You picked somebody you thought would be a good wife or husband, and you courted under the supervision of the elders of the family. You didn't just jump in the sack with each other. Oh, I know a lot of you are saying, oh, well, this is a new age. We should be allowed to do that. Really? Okay, how's that working out for you, by the way? Let's see. Infertility we've got on the rise, sexually transmitted diseases, psychosis, paranoia, schizophrenia, depression, on drugs to handle these things like mood suppressors and antidepressants. Yeah. Our people are drug-addled. That's okay. Just so we can violate the rule of courtship. Because that's what old-timers did. I say. Well, you know, when the old-timers were in charge, divorce was almost unheard of. In fact, even in my early childhood, I remember very, very few people amongst our families were divorced. Very few. Very few. But today we've accepted it as the new normal that you're going to get. And that's why women use that for an excuse, because the new normal says that that man's not going to be around. So you better be able to take care of yourself because he's not going to be around. Well, wait a minute. he's not going to be around because you become a materialistic bitch. And you're hitting him up with honey-do lists as soon as he comes in the door. And he has to cook his own dinner because you refuse to learn how to cook and you don't clean anything. I'm being somewhat facetious now. And obviously, not every woman is like that. But I'm going to tell you something. I hear from an awful lot of men, as well as some of the ladies, but I hear from them all the time. And that's the world we live in. That's the new normal. I hear the young men talking about women that they're going out with, and they don't know how to do anything about taking care of a house. Nothing. They don't know how to cook. They don't even know how to properly do dishes, clean an apartment or a house. And they sure as hell don't know how to make a man feel like a king in his castle. Well, why would I do that, Dan? I'm a woman. I'm equal to that there man. Why should I worry about him being a king in his castle? Well, ladies, why would that be important? Because it's our job to defend you. Now, we have an enemy pouring across our borders. Many of them are already here and have been here. So we're getting ready for the fight of our racial lives. What kind of men do you want in the battlefield fighting for you? The coddled little guy that just, you know, whimpers whenever you bark. The guy that says, oh, dear, okay, I'll try to be better. Or do you want a guy that's out there full of testosterone that can kill 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the enemy almost single-handed? Which one do you think will win the war? The one that gives you whatever you ask for? The one who bows down to you? Or the one that knows how to be a knight or a king, a warrior? Which one? You want him to win the war? Then give him a reason to want to win the war. Be that Proverbs lady in his life, the one that makes him feel like a dragon slayer instead of the little wimpy dog that gets beat up by the woman in his life or the women. Yeah, the Jews set you free to come after the men, to belittle us, demean us, ridicule us, rob us in the courts through divorce. And the whole time the white man has been pushed down, where were the white women? Relishing in it. It sounds a lot like the Jewish women that relished in the butchering of the Christian men, women, and children during the Bolshevik takeover. It was not a Russian revolution. It was a Jewish Bolshevik conquering through terror, bribery, propaganda. They did the same thing there, you know. Oh, we're here for you little people. You're being oppressed by those nasty czars and the aristocrats. And as soon as they came to power, they were 100 times worse than the czar and the aristocrats ever were. But you fell for it. And the women in the United States and around the world fell for the Jewish bullshit that you can be free. And those men are abusive. Now, I'll take it. I understand that there are some men that deserve that appellate. Okay? There are some men who deserve to be called bullies and reprobates. But you know what? You don't associate with them, ladies. And you sure as hell don't give that prized vessel that you carry, that sacred vessel, you don't give it to these kind of men. Let them do without. They should do without. And you find a man that's worthy. You find a man who can sit in the saddle of that horse and take his shield and sword and his lance and fight the enemy and fight the good fight. That's who you give your sacred vessel to. You don't give it to scumbags. Well, Dan, I got to have a husband, and you know, all the good guys in my neighborhood, they're already taken. Well, there's fewer and fewer good guys, ladies. I hate to break this to you, so you might have to share one. Oh, my God, Dan. You're not talking about polygamy, are you? I have to share? No, you're right. I'm sorry. I apologize. It's much better that you have a singular husband, even though he's a douchebag, even though he's a reprobate, than it is to share. And it's much better. It's much better that you have found that one good guy and you latched on and you possess him while your sisters are desperately looking for cover. So, yeah, you're right. It's much better that you succeeded in finding that rare good guy. You latched onto him. You made him your possession. And now the other ladies are out there desperately looking for somebody to lead and guide and protect them and to be their cover. Yeah, you're right. I'm wrong. I make mistakes. You're right. It is much better. The world we see around us is so much better than doing it Yahweh's way. Yeah. I see the error of my ways. Yep. I repent. Monogamy only, because that's just the way it should be. Yahweh didn't say it. The Catholic Church did. And, you know, the Catholic Church knows so much more than my ancestors and so much more than Yahweh, our Creator. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry I brought it up. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now, man here is talking about a real man, not these creatures that are carrying around the equipment of a man, but they sure as hell aren't men. We're talking about real men. You know, men who know who they are, where they stand, what they believe in, men who take care of themselves, physically fit, and know how to be a gentleman when it's called for, but they also know how to be a get-in-the-dirt-get-bloody warrior when it's called for. Real men. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Yeah, it takes a real man to sharpen another man into being a real man. Oh, and by the way, that's why they wanted to divide the homes so that boys are raised by what? Oh, these new women, these liberated women. And we wonder why the men are so screwed up. Ladies, no offense. When they're little toddlers and stuff, you are the like greatest thing that could even be imagined, because that's what a toddler and a child need. But as they become adolescents, they need to be around men. Now you say, well, Dan, that sounds silly. Well, you might think so. But go look at how the Spartans, who were some of the greatest warriors of the ancient world, and little Sparta was pretty much invincible for a long time. But how did they set it up? Well, they set it up that when a child, a male child, was 7, 8 years old, he went off to military school. So moms got to baby them and coddle them till they became about 7 or 8 years old. Then they went off to learn how to fight and be warriors. They were around men and only men. And they were in the arenas learning how to wrestle and fight hand-to-hand combat as boys. But Dan, that's so... that is so, geez, that's just so not normal today. You know, we want our boys to learn how to put on high heels and wear makeup and eyeshadow. We want their hair long and in a bun so they can look like females. We want them to wear skinny jeans. How's that world working out for you? You think it's so harsh what our ancestors and particularly the Spartans did, but you think what's out here in zombie land is okay? Boys acting like girls, girls acting like boys? When the scripture even says you shall not even dress like the other sex, and yet people do it left and right. And these same people end up going to these whitewashed sepulchers called churches every Sunday, claiming to be believers. And yet they're violating the letter of the law. Oh, but Dan, they believe in Jesus. And that's all that matters. You just have to believe in Jesus and proclaim Jesus. It doesn't matter. The law was done away with, Dan. Oh, why do you keep bringing that stuff up? Because it matters. Let's see. Faith without works is dead. Now, what works do you think the scripture is talking about? Your works? The things that you like to do? Or is it talking about obeying the Father? What is righteousness but obedience to the Father? See, we got it all wrong. And as one brother recently said, we need to preach repentance more. At first I thought, well, we preach it all the time, but maybe we don't. Because, to be honest, I look around, there's not much repentance. You see, repentance means to rethink or reprioritize in your life. Repentance means that you give up the ways of the world and you take on Yahweh's ways. There's not a lot of repentance out there because we're still going the way of man. We're still going the way of the narcissist amongst us. And believe me, in even identity, we've got a lot of narcissists. The world revolves around them. I've talked to them. I've even had some as guests on my programs. Only years later, when I found out what narcissists they were, we broke fellowship. And sometimes fellowship will be broken, you're right, because I'll tell you, when I find out that you aren't a true believer, when I find out you teach things that are abhorrent to our Father, I'm not going to fellowship with you. I don't even want to be around you. I don't want a phone call. I don't want an email. I don't want anything from you. I sure as hell don't want you in my home. And I found out this movement, this knowledge, this truth called identity is full of hypocrites, narcissists, egomaniacs. And I'll be honest, I don't want to be around any of them. Well, Dan, then you're going to be out there in the field of battle by yourself. Yeah. Yeah, that could be. I've been well aware of that for a long time. And I told the Father in prayer many times, if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. If your will is that I go out there all by myself and spill my blood, then so be it. But I'm not going to go out there with a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not going to go out there with those that pay lip service to the word. And for those who backstab and backbite and gossip and sow discord, I'm going to go out there with the few that get it right. The ones we call the Gideon soldiers, the Gideon warriors. Because that's exactly where we're at in history. That's exactly where we're at on the timeline of Scripture. We need the warriors to stand, but it's got to be the real warriors, not the pretend warriors. I like the old saying that some of our better soldiers in our history used to say, that a good soldier prepares for war, but prays for peace. We're not violent people. In fact, most of us detest violence. I, for one, detest violence. However, I also detest injustice. I detest when a big dog picks on an underdog. I detest when men abuse other people, and in some cases, women. I detest those who detest our Father in heaven and his law. Those who think that they can create law that is outside of his law or even contradicts his law. I detest all those things. And I believe each one of you should detest it as well. Matthew 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 7, verse 12. So that's not the writings of Paul. So whatever you wish that others would do to you. So it's the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So Matthew is saying it's slightly different. Do also to them. For this, basically, this little phrase, doing unto others. For this is the law and the prophets. He's basically saying you can wrap up scripture in that one phrase. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If every single one of us obeyed that one verse, what a different world we'd live in. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, in my lifetime, Yahweh's taken me down a lot of roads. And there have been many times people have paid me compliments. And it's sort of embarrassing. But it always caused me to think, why do they say these things to me? Why do they say that I'm a good friend or the other things that they said? And it made me think that one of the biggest differences between me and many of the people I grew up with and those I was in the military with and in power plants, etc., one of the big things that set me apart was the fact ever since I was a boy, when I read verses in the Bible, I believed them. And when it said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, I put that into practice even as a boy. And it dawned on me one day, that's what sets people apart. If I am truly different than a lot of other people, that's why. Not because I'm particularly different, but because I did read and obey the commandments of our Father. And it's sad to say, a lot of people don't. Well, they read them, and they'll even acknowledge that, yes, that's a wise thing to do, but how many actually do it? How many actually put that verse, run it through their brain every single moment they are awake? How many people do you know? Because when I was a boy, and all through my life, every event that happened, those verses ran through my head. When I had a neighbor come up and want a favor, or if somebody asked me something, I would always wonder, what would I want them to do if that was me? If I needed help changing a tire, would I want somebody to be able to help me? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. Oh, I would help them. If they asked me a question about health or farming or the Bible, what would I expect? To be told the truth. So I told them the truth. Just putting a few verses like that into practice in your life can change your life, folks. And change it for the better. You know, I've been blessed that even one of my friends here is from Colombia. And one day at work, he came up to me and he said, Dan, here, I want you to have this. And it was a key. His name was Louis Jimenez. And I said, Louis, why are you giving me this key? What's it for? He said, it's a key to my house. He was single. He had money. He had homes all over the United States. And I said, but why are you giving me this key? I said, I don't ever go over to your house. Or he goes, because I trust you, Dan. He goes, I know you would not go in my house unless you actually had to do it. I said, Louis, that's amazing. I said, thank you. I said, I'll hang on to it. I will not let anything happen to it. And when you want it back, I'll give it back to you. And he goes, I know you will, Dan. That's why I'm giving it to you. But if I'm out of town and I need something done at my house, I also know that you'll go over there and take care of it for me. I said, yeah, you're right. I would. He said, and if you ever needed that house for something, I'd expect you to go there. You don't need to call me. But if you need somewhere to go or somebody you trust needs somewhere to go, you go to my house. You see, I went home that day and I thought to myself, why would he do that? And it always took me back to the scriptures that I applied in my relationship with Louis from the day I met him. The ethics, the work ethics, the personal value system that you take from scripture, when you apply it in real life, that is the blessing you get in return. If you do not behave that way, you do not get that blessing. It's much like the food laws. Well, Dan, why the hell do you constantly try to tell me what to eat? I'm going to eat whatever I want to eat. I said, well, yeah, you're right. You can, but you're not going to get the blessing. Well, what blessing you talking about? I love shrimp. I love pork and bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches, and I like a good pork chop. What are you telling me, Dan? I'm telling you, you can eat that crap, but you're not going to get the blessing. You're not going to get the great health that comes from obeying it. Well, I'm a grown adult. I know what I can eat and not eat, and I resent you trying to tell me what to eat. I said, you can eat any damn thing you want. I don't really care. I'm just telling you what I know. I read it many years ago, and I believed it, and so I took the unclean out of my diet, and I have not regretted it a day since I did it. And even now, as I approach that age that I can't hardly believe it's been that long, but as I approach 70 years old, I can look backwards now and say, there's a blessing in there because my health is very good. I'm on no medications at all. I've had no surgeries at all. I have no poisons, no tattoos, no piercings. I can still work, get up, feel great. No braces, no crutches after 7 decades. Is that a blessing? Well, in my book, yes, it is. Did it take quite a ways? Quite a few years before I saw the blessing? Well, actually, I had pretty good health all my life. But in the later years, when it really matters, when things start falling apart, that's when your adherence to the scripture really starts to show. So even at this late point of my life, at least I can say to myself and to my Creator, thank you. Thank you for reading the scriptures. Thank you for believing them. And thank you for putting them into practice. Our walk through this thing we call life, remember, it's a test. Okay? You're an eternal being. You're here for the test. You're not here for some kind of reward in this world. even though the Father might bless you with many things, and in my life he's blessed me tremendously. But that's not the point of the test. The test is, will you make it? Will you see the wisdom that the Father puts before you, and will you take it upon yourself to follow that wisdom? Or will you go the way of the world? Will you fall into the temptations of the world? That is the test. Well, it's a pain in the ass, Dan. All my friends want to do this and that. They want to go get drunk. They want to get high. They want to have orgies, blah, 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 blah. The way of the world. Yeah. Well, yeah, I know that. I didn't say it was going to be easy. But then again, the best things in life are free, and the best things in life come at a cost. They require some effort. Much like when I was a gym junkie and lifting weights all the time, we used to have a saying in the gym, no pain, no gain. If you're not lifting enough weight to where you're struggling, your arms are shaking, and after 10 or 12 reps on that bench press or that squat machine, if your body isn't feeling it, then you haven't been working hard enough. But what's the upside of that? The upside of that is when you look in the mirror and you see the muscle definition. When you put your clothes on, they fit. When you have to do something that requires some stamina and strength, you've got it. Or for the warriors out there, when you're on the battlefield and the enemy's getting tired, you're just getting started. It used to be that way when I played football, somewhat baseball too, but mostly applied in football. Why did the coach work us so hard my senior year? Why did he tell us we were working so hard? Because I want you to be in shape for the whole game. I don't want you getting tired. I'd rather you get tired here on the practice field. And let me tell you, he drove us like rented mules. And many a day we went into that locker room after practice and I thought I was going to die. But you know what? On game day, when we were up there dressed to take on the enemy on the battlefield called the football field, we were ready. We didn't get tired. We had the same strength at the end of the game that we had at the beginning of the game. Why? Because he worked us on the practice field. So the benefit came on game day. And the other benefit was at the end of the season, my senior year, we were undefeated for the first time in our school's history. We had an undefeated football team. You know, it's when you go through and pass the test, and you look back, even though you bitched all the way through, every practice session, all of us bitched and moaned about how hard it was, how hot it was, how thirsty we were, how our muscles ached. And yet when we left the field after that last game as an undefeated team, we looked back and you know what we said? It was worth it. When mom has that baby laid on her chest, after our 9 months of putting up with that hell, going through the delivery system, every woman I've ever talked to that's had a child told me, when the baby was laying on my chest, all that pain and suffering went away. There may be an exception out there, but most of the ladies, or all the ladies I talked to anyway, that's what they said. Why? Because that baby was worth it. Our people are worth it. Our race is worth it. Why so many of our people don't see that, I don't know. I can't answer that. That's why I called it herding cats. Trying to get our people to row the boat in one direction is literally like herding cats. They're all over the place. And they are stiff-necked and stubborn. Proverbs 13, verse 20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Yeah, the people you hang around with have a lot to do with who you are and what kind of person you are. Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than gold or silver. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Again, be careful who you associate with. Or as they used to say in the hills, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh God. That's a long list. And on that road to hell, many travel. Or as the one adage says, there's a reason why it's a road to hell, but only a stairway to heaven. Think about that. A road or a highway to hell, and only a stairway to heaven. Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge or truth. But he who hates reproof, scolding, discipline, is stupid. Hallelujah. I'm getting an awful lot of information, calls, communications with people lately. A lot of injustice in this world. I was just told about a man who's a paraplegic up in Wisconsin, originally from Michigan, and he's in desperate need of help because the authorities have gone after him. It's a long story. But so few willing to stand up and help this guy. And again, he's in a wheelchair. And the local, this is how bad man-made government is. They have put him down as a sex offender. How does a guy in a wheelchair become a sex offender? I suppose it's possible, but a paraplegic, from what I read, is paralyzed from the waist down. Now, if you're paralyzed from the waist down, that sort of tells me that being a sexual offender, rape, or any of those kind of things is kind of like impossible. I'm just saying. But the public servants that we pay for with our tax dollars and give our obedience to have labeled this guy that so that he can't leave the state and he can't go after his inheritance that his father left him because his siblings want it. And I have heard so many stories from people here lately of family members who will do unspeakable things to other family members because they want that money. We have become worshipers of mammon, money, gold, silver, idols made with the hands of man. We will tread under our feet things made by our Father above in order to get things made by man. And now these things are just electronic digits in a computer. That's how bad it's gotten. It reminds me of the scripture that says, you'll be led back to Egypt and you will be paid for with basically nothing. You will be bought off and paid for by nothing. Electronic digits that do not exist other than little blips of voltage running down circuits in a computer. Ones and zeros voltage or no voltage. That's it. And yet our people have sold their souls for these imaginary digits. Well, yeah, but Dan, I can go down there and sign a piece of paper and I get this bright, shiny new car. Yeah, and you will trade many hours of your life, many hours of your intellect, your life, your work ethic will be traded to the people that gave you that car far more in value than that hunk of metal that you think is so valuable. But you traded it away. Time you could have spent with loved ones. Time you could have been doing Yahweh's will upon the earth. But instead, you're slaving away in a factory or an office building to pay back with your life, your valuable time and energy, paying back to get the baubles of Babylon, the delicacies, as the book of Revelation puts it, the delicacies of Babylon. Remember the definition of delicacies, right? No, not food for sustenance, not food to keep you alive, but delicacies. Those little baubles that taste so good and look so dainty, and the delicacies. You don't need them to survive. You just want them. You desire them. Yahweh says that if you desire anything upon this earth, and he means that, anything, including your children, by the way, your relatives and your children, if you desire them more than me, then you do not deserve me. And you do not deserve the kingdom. It's time we put Yahweh as number one in our life. As soon as we do that, all of these other problems go away, because then we no longer worship our enemies. We no longer worship what the Jew hands out to us when they call it money, and it's nothing more than imaginary digits. We're selling our souls. We're selling our businesses, our homes, our factories, our boats, our cars, our land, and now our food production, giving it to these despicable communist Jews for a handful of electronic shekels, selling out to the enemy. So what's the answer? Repentance, rethinking, reestablishing who is the significant one in our life, which has to be our Father in heaven. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We just pray, Father, the words will reach the ears of those that are meant to hear it. We pray your Holy Spirit, as you promised, pour it out mightily upon our people. Let them clearly see that we are at a crossroads right now. And if we don't pick the right way to go, and if we don't get off our asses and get involved, we will live through a hell that only in our nightmares we could imagine how terrible it will be. Help us have good discernment, Father, and have us have the spirit of courage and not fear, and have the courage to follow that good discernment, trusting that you will walk with us, as Psalm 91 clearly says, that you'll watch over us. And even if we see thousands falling at our sides, as we see today in the last 3 years, millions falling because they believe the beast, help us overcome that. Help us be the warriors, especially us men, that you meant for us to be upon this earth. We pray for your coming to be very, very soon. But in the meantime, we pray that our people will recognize the signs of the times and make the right decisions accordingly, and trust you above all things. To that end, Father, we ask that you be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, to thy glory and for thy kingdom. In Yahweh's name we do ask and pray. Hallelujah.